So we're now on, really it is the final component of the journey of the senses of the soul. Next time we meet in October, it'll be a summary to bring an overview and to look at how do we integrate this information. And then of course in November we have the big unity circle and ceremony. So in looking at to bring sense to where we are now, very much of it has been encapsulated by the symbol that we've used this year, which has a triangle. Inside the triangle is a circle, and inside the circle is a cross, like an addition sign. And what this has meant is that, you know, we've done a journey of these senses of the soul, understanding them from the aspect of, when we consider the physical senses, they are our way of collecting information from our world, passing it up through our consciousness, which is like the triangle. Which is our mind and our emotions and our instincts, which help us make meaning of it. And this brings our experience of divine to divine. But of course, this is a two-way thing, a two-way flow. The aspect of divine, in order to know itself within this construct, also passes down this same way, where it passes through the border senses, which is what we're looking at today, and then passing through the soul senses, which help to allow the soul to collect the information of the journey and grow our soul. So specifically we're here today to look at the final aspect of the border sense. And so the border sense, given that this relates to the triangle, is going to relate to really to consciousness, because when we look at consciousness as through really any esoteric tradition, it's a trinity kind of thing, because it recognizes that no matter at what level you're looking at, in the first primal exchanges of energy, there's always an interplay between a receptive and a transmissive energy, which we may call masculine and feminine. So there's something that transmits and there's something that collects. Yeah, and it's in this interplay of polarity, if you want to put it in that description, that things can grow and be known, because out of the balancing of those two forces, there's always this elevation of then what is discovered or known, which becomes the third vector, which becomes the unity point of that knowledge that allows for elevation, for evolution, in fact. This unity point also helps to govern the outplay of also the masculine feminine, because those aspects of the bottom of the triangle become housed in the unity point. So in essence, when the whole thing is working like a trinity, then you have this balance of forces. Other frames that are brought to this trinity, other than the masculine and the feminine and the unity, is also the wisdom, which is often associated with the feminine, the power, which is often associated with the masculine, and the unity point, often associated with love. So sometimes you hear this same expression brought through love, wisdom, and power. But in essence, we're talking about the same thing. We're talking about, you know, wisdom being the collection, power being the transmission, and always, you know, love being the glue, the unity point that sticks it together. So when we look at the border sense for the soul, now again, as we've talked before, what is a border sense's function? The border sense is there to govern or filter the conscious perception of the soul in its incarnation. So it helps to kind of tune in the soul's consciousness to experience itself into the construct it's decided to incarnate into, in order that it can grow and know itself, yeah, as a fractal of the divine. So the point that we're looking at today is actually that top point. In truth, it's the pinnacle of it all. It's actually the overarching consciousness of the soul itself. So it's holds within it all of these different sensory aspects that we've looked at. We've looked at the center point, which is the sense of divine, these aspects of earth, air, fire, and water in terms of how this holds a container for soul essence. So the fire being desire, the water being sense of dream, the air being sense of memory, the earth being sense of exchange. And we've looked at all of those frames through the year. We've also already looked at two of the higher border senses, which is the aspect of the feminine, which holds the wisdom and the memory. And so this helps to drive the evolution of the soul, because it has within it the information that the soul needs in order to progress on its journey. We've looked last time at the power of the soul, the ability of the soul to act. And we looked at how it can bring this action through its use of will and its ability to navigate time. And these actions of the soul, again, bring a way where the soul can influence us to act within the construct. So today we're looking at the unity point, so where it all comes together. So this is a unity point which holds within it the unity of both that wisdom aspect of memory, as well as the willpower that drives the actions and brings them to this higher point, which in essence is the consciousness of the soul. It holds within it what you may term as the mission of the soul. And understanding that this is a point that governs your journey. So when we're going, okay, I'm living my soul mission, the part that holds it is this overarching point. And when we go, what is this? Then a way to understand it is like, if we understand, divine source, in however you perceive that, is the oneness and wholeness of all consciousness. In order to experience itself into the creation, it actually fractures itself into components, in order that these components can play in the construct. In this splitting, if you want to say, of its divine aspects, so that it can better know itself, because it's no point at all just putting itself as the same thing inside each part of the construct, because that doesn't give it diversity of information. What it does is it brings itself into, the best description is really archetypes of consciousness. So it has archetypes of consciousness that come to play in the construct in order to collect and experience information through that particular window. Yeah, and these various windows gives it many views of the same truth, if you want to put it that way. Within some traditions, through a process of really understanding a fairly complex level of sacred geometry and mathematics in determining the fractalization of divine, comes to a number which was 183 archetypes of the divine. In this particular tradition that was looking at this, they actually could perceive that 20 of these archetypes were actually not being played with, which perhaps was related to humanity's fall and our loss of some of our consciousness in time. So perhaps there are these 20 to reclaim. But that currently we are working with 163 archetypes of divine. These archetypes of divine, they within this particular tradition, they refer to them as elements of the soul. So, but not to be confused with elements like earth, air, fire, and water. Probably better described as archetypes, yeah, because they have a like a construct of information that they've come to actually experience, attract, and grow. When all of these 163 archetypes are present together, they actually form a group consciousness, which is called like the super individual. It's like the complete collection of what it is to be the divine in the construct. According to this particular tradition, the archetype of our soul is constant across all incarnations for throughout time, throughout space, throughout dimensions and densities. You will always you are an expression of one of these archetypes of the divine. And you'll play it in different ways every time, because each time you're in a different body. So, you know, you've got different light codes in the body. You also accompany yourself. If you remember back to when we looked at the sense of memory, we looked at how when we incarnate, we come in also with other parts of soul from our group, because we integrate these particular aspects of ourself to bring diversity and flavorings to our journey, and also to build our soul body. But the core essence of your mission is always the same. The core essence of who you are as a divine being here has this same primal archetype or soul mission every time. And this pinnacle point of your consciousness, so the unity point that guides you and filters your experience, holds within it this aspect. This is the pinnacle of your, really, the consciousness of your soul. This is what you're doing here. And even though it has many other flavors, and that this point helps to, you know, balance your experience, it influences you in your experience, it helps you to elevate because it has the information within you, within it, to help to guide your progress in the experience. It's also the bit that can connect you through the densities to what we might feel is our higher self, because it connects you to higher aspects of knowledge within your soul and vibrations of energy within the soul. There's this whole lineage that this aspect of you, this core archetype of what your soul is a component that, is simply the bit of you that is divine experiencing itself. It is the fractal that you represent in the mix. And it was interesting, we had this card of individualization. And there is this aspect that we have this individual archetype, which is part of our mission. There may be others that have the same archetype, but of course they will have different flavors for how they can experience it. So that way more information can be gathered to how this archetype is experienced by the divine. And as we move up levels of density and experience greater unity, these archetypes start to join up into becoming much more of collective consciousness, because then we join up through vibration of archetype until we get to levels like, from what I understand, like a sixth density level, where by that stage we are simply a social memory construct. We no longer have this sense of individuality. We simply know ourselves as collective, because all of that has unified, and all of those archetypes have formed to make a picture that is able to know itself still, so it still has a sense of itself other than source, but it's all a very unified consciousness. And the archetypes, I believe, are the bit that help us to actually do that.
So is that a collective consciousness?
Yes, correct. So the how do we feel this part of ourselves? How do we reach it? How do we experience it? How do we touch it? How do we get to know it? The characteristics of connection, in truth, are pretty well always the same. Someone was asking me, you know, do different people have different characteristics of how they might connect to it? And my answer to that was actually, no, I actually don't think so. I think it's always the same. Because the primal ways of connecting to it sit in the realm of love consciousness. So love consciousness, and sometimes, you know, this is, you know, we talk about love, wisdom and power, and that this is the aspect of love, and this is why it sits in this aspect. But of course, we are not talking about the love of relationship or even, you know, we're going, oh, you know, I feel like I love this, you know, that kind of emotion. It's actually in some ways a better description of this aspect of consciousness is a feeling of energetic interconnection or a feeling of alliance, because the love consciousness at this level of vibration is truly unconditional love. And I know this is, again, it's a difficult term to grasp at times because people go, oh, I don't know how we could do unconditional love. But in truth, everybody experiences unconditional love regularly. Again, it's simply to love and feel connected with something without needing something back. It's simply a feeling of, I am just with it. You know, you can feel this when you are, you know, observing a beautiful sunset and you're just going, oh wow, I just love that, that is so gorgeous. And you can feel it meets you and touches you, and just something in you is with it. And this is that sense. It's a sense of absolutely no separation. Okay, you are absolutely with it there. And so the polarity is, yep, separation and union. So the opposite of separation is this consciousness. This is why they go, okay, fear and love. What does fear do? Fear contracts us and separates us. Love expands us and joins us to things. This is why they go, love is the glue. Yeah. This level of consciousness that they're talking about is absolutely interconnection. So it's a flow. It's a flow that connects you to things. You know, we can feel it with trees. You know, we're not expecting the tree, you know, to love us back, but we can feel connected to the tree, and we can feel there's an exchange. And this absolutely is an example, again, of this type of love consciousness. It's a level of exchange which is beyond attachment. Because when we want something back, we are working in the realms of attachment, because it's like, I give you this, but I want this back. Yeah, I'll love you if you do this for me, if you make me happy. This is conditional love. This is where we are attached for something because we want something back from it. We're wanting to pull energy back from us, or else we're giving ourselves away to something. Also, can also create attachment. When we can rise above attachment, where it's simply just we are there and we're experiencing a level of integration with this world, this is the experience of love consciousness. And so this brings an opening of the heart. It's the principle also behind heart coherence. We can reach this state where it's neutral in some aspects, but it feels expansive and connected in other aspects. Yeah, it's not full of gushy emotion. It's more a feeling of connection. Did you want to say something?
Yeah. I've been thinking about unconditional love a bit, and using the example of the welcome tree, because that's somewhere I've been close to for some time. So I was looking at that going, I do love that tree. I have a lot of love for that tree. And I was questioning, do I love that tree because of what it's given me over the years? Which I was kind of thinking, well, yes. You know, if I hadn't lived so close to it, I might not feel the same about it. But I'm just wondering now, is it because there was an interconnection with that tree? Because I was so close with it and exchanging with it regularly, that that built that interconnectedness, which is where the regard and the appreciation and the love, like it's just, I love that tree. I'm not asking for it to do anything for me. So is that kind of a description of what you've been talking about?
Yes.
That really helps.
I think that is actually a really good description, because absolutely there's this sense of interchange. Yeah. And it can come with these feelings of warmth and regard and appreciation and gratitude. You know, these are all parts of it. And for sure, you can have this sense of joy and uplift. And, you know, this can be part of it also. Because, you know, when I see a beautiful sunset, I absolutely experience a feeling of uplift. And so whenever we experience, it pushes us into these higher emotions as a general principle. But it doesn't necessarily have to. They can be there. But the aspect that I say is essential within love consciousness is a feeling of connection and interchange, because this is the glue, this is the union, this is the exchange. This pinnacle of the triangle that we call love is also union, is also, this is the joining. And when you are in interchange with everything, then there is this flow of energy. We're in the flow, and we experience it in that way.
Because I would say it was an interchange, because obviously I'm giving something to the tree by interacting with it and being me, and the tree's given something to me, but just by being the tree. It's not like it had to do anything, right? But it's that flow.
Yes.
Okay.
If I say, so this being one of the characteristics of connection, another characteristic of connection with this flow of consciousness is presence, being in the now. And this is why, again, many esoteric teachings across the world always talk about the importance of this, because the only place that interchange can actually happen is, of course, in the presence, because that's actually where the interchange is. Because when we are in the past or worrying about the future, or not even worrying about the future, pitching ourselves into the future, then we aren't working from a place of the presence of everything. We are bringing either the benefit or maybe not the benefit of our mind, which has this ability to vision and create, The mind has this ability to remember and to be able to connect to the past and, you know, these sort of things. It can also vision to the future in order to manifest and do these sort of things. But this is not the bit that can drop you in to this interchange, Because often when you're in the past or the future, you are not in, well, you're definitely not in the now. And the now is the place where the interchange occurs. So it is the love consciousness, the now presence, and the third vector that is usually described in this is the interchange is a feeling-based interchange. More, again, that they say the principle in it is, you know, heart first, head second, that the interchange comes through the heart intelligence, which may then rise and give definition through the mind, which may then get a knowing about it or a sentience about it. But the initial connection is not through the mind. You can't think your way into this interchange. It's an experience of the heart intelligence. The heart intelligence is the vector which has a much bigger, much more powerful field that allows the essence, basically, it allows the plug-in of the glue. You know, the mind can then receive information and then it will make things of it. But, you know, they say you have to connect first in order to get the definition. So heart first, head second. And so these three principles, the principles of love, consciousness, or connection, this principle of now being present, and this principle of connecting through heart intelligence, through your feeling life or your intuitive senses, are characteristics of this connection to this higher soul consciousness. And when you have those three things happening for you, then your ability to be in this stream of the higher self guidance is enhanced. There are some traditions that talk about that when those three things are present, then your energy body actually shifts. And the structure that sometimes are called the angelic wings, or in some cases are called the soul wings, is like the part of your light body opens through the back of the heart like a radar dish, and that your ability to receive more is enhanced because the heart field expands. And again, HeartMath shows that this is so because they have measured it, that when you hit heart coherence, the heart field expands. And this expansion, I often talks about you have greater plug-in capacity. And what happens in that moment of expansion is that the soul body becomes fully integrated with the physical body. And that you then are able to receive a stream of soul guidance. This is recognized as the quiet inner voice within, which they go quietly whispers in the heart. Who is it? It's not your brain. It's your soul. And when you're in, you know, and we have lots of language about it. We go, oh yes, when I meditate, I can drop into my heart, and then I feel like I'm going within, and in there I can, you know, get information from my higher self or my inner truth. What are they talking about? They're talking about connecting to their soul. They're connecting to this consciousness of their soul, which has this stream of consciousness, which is of their higher self, which is able to inform you of your next evolutionary progression, on how your archetype of consciousness wishes to expand and know itself. It guides you into that. Does that, do you get clarity in that? Great. It's, we will all have felt it at times. You know, we'll all have known when we've hit that spot. You know, the thing is, this is, everybody has the capacity for it and everyone's wired for it. And it's actually how the whole thing is meant to work when we are in this integration of spirit, soul, and body, because this is actually how the machine is meant to function. And it's really only in our dysfunction where we get very stuck in the body, which then allows, of course, the government in the body is the brain. And often we allow our brain to run our life with its stories and its patterns and all of its things. And we can be less able to hear the inner guidance in those moments, because of course we always have free will. And so we can choose to listen to this inner guidance or totally ignore it. The brain, because it runs on a much faster speed than what heart coherence does, can prevent us from hearing the inner guidance, because the brain gets so busy. And this is why when you check in with the, you know, the speed of your brain and going, oh my goodness, you know, it's chatter, 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 chatter. And again, this is why many practices are about being able to slow down those inner speeds. This is what meditation does. Mm. And this is why most you know, schools of practice go, you know, it's very good to meditate. Why? Because meditation is a way to drop your inner speed. The same as breath work, the same as yoga, the same, you know, there are many ways of doing this. What are they all designed for? Slowing it down. Why? You've got to slow down the inner speed to be able to capture the, to be able to hear and connect with the soul voice.
And it's a source.
Yes, which of course soul voice is. You know, in essence, we're talking about here consciousness of the soul. What is it? It is the aspect of the source that you are, the archetype of the source that you have come to be the experience of. You are that fractal. You are that component of source itself that has come to experience this world. But you have a particular nature. You have a particular archetype to the bit that you've come to represent, because it needs diversity in order to have a complete experience. Yeah. And so if we are to grow ourselves on our journey, then being able to access the voice of the soul, the consciousness of our soul, and allow it to help lead us, because of course it is, you know, one of my old teachers, you know, he would call it the planetary prompter. The soul voice is your little prompter that helps you journey here while you're on the planet. You know, it's the bit that if we can surrender our little will of all of our wants and needs, and I want this and I want to do that and I want that, and actually drop into the hearing the voice of the bigger will, which is kind of the consciousness of our soul, then we can flow much more easily and be in acceptance of the experiences that we attract, because we don't get so personal about it. Because it's not all about, you know, are my needs being gratified, and, you know, am I getting what I want? It's more like, the soul has attracted this experience. This is interesting. What is it helping me learn and grow through? And then you find there's a much more ease to the navigation. It doesn't mean that you don't have challenging experiences. What it means is that you meet them differently, because you meet them with a sense of a bigger self. That this is my soul meeting this experience in order that I can, you know, experience this aspect of the divine, for the divine. You know, I am this interchange point of where I am the divine having experience, so it can know itself. And so we start to perceive, it changes our perception. And this very change of perception actually shifts us into a higher state of consciousness. Because they're saying, you know, here we may experience ourselves as a third density being. To shift into the state of the fourth density beings, there are three characteristics. Those three characteristics are the capacity to know yourself. So that aspect of knowing yourself is that ability to be the neutral observer of yourself. Because until, you know, what we would call self-awareness. So that ability to go, I can see me sitting here in this teepee having an experience. You know, that ability to perceive yourself, to know yourself, this ability of self-awareness is one of the characteristics that help us move into the next stage of evolution. The second characteristic is the ability to accept yourself. So it's know yourself, accept yourself. So accept yourself is where you come into acceptance, a bit like you were talking about, Akira, on that you're coming into a sense of going, this is who I am, and it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is the aspect of this acceptance of, this is me, you know, this is me, and I don't need to judge whether I think I'm doing well or not well, or that this is a good characteristic or a bad characteristic. So I move beyond judgment. And instead, I move into acceptance, that it is all part of the diversity. And this also allows me to move beyond judgment of others, because I also move into acceptance of them, understanding they also are part of the diversity, and that we're all playing here together. So it's know thyself, I accept thyself. And the third characteristic is to appreciate that you are, is to see the divine within yourself and all things. So to, it's again, this appreciation, coming back really to the very first part of this whole series, which was the sense of the divine. We sense we are divine, and we see that the divine is in all other things. And this ability to perceive yourself as divine and to see all other things as divine, again, it shifts your perception, because then instead of separation, this is the point that brings unity, because suddenly you are just another aspect of the divine having an experience, and so suddenly you are part of that oneness, that everything is part of the divine, the tree, the rock, the animal, the plant, the people, you know, everything is part of the construct, and you are one with it. And when you have this sense, then you're able to flow in this interchange. Yeah. And so they say these are the three characteristics that shift us into that next level, which this aspect of consciousness will be prompting us towards, because this aspect of consciousness that guides us is simply doing exactly that. It's guiding us through our evolution, and it will always prompt us towards the things that take us to the next level, because that's what it's there to do. In a series that I've been listening to, which relates to a teaching called the Ra Law of One, which is a very interesting teaching, a channeled teaching that came from a sixth density social memory construct, if you want to put it that way. Quite famous. There are recordings of it, and there's an interesting teaching, because it's often spoken of as a galactic teaching. It's a very but in that teaching they talk about this soul aspect as being that the bit that we consider our higher self is our soul, but it's at a sixth density level, and that because it, your soul at that higher level has the part of its mission to help prompt the lower expressions of itself in other density up through the levels. And so it's like it's you, when we connect into our higher self, it's just a higher density level of ourselves that's helping to prompt us up the path of our evolution, because the soul itself exists at all levels, because simply it is divine. It's simply a fractal or an archetype of divine itself. So it's helping us to bring that information that we've come to experience back home, yeah? And to move us back into oneness, to unify again as the divinity. Okay.